The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
You're listening to NBC Sports Radio. Weekends. This is the Two Robbies Football Show. Your number one source for Premier League football on NBC Sports Radio. Now, your hosts, Robbie Musto and Robbie Earl.
Hello and welcome to the Two Robbies Football Show here on NBC Sports Radio with me, Robbie Musto, and him, Robbie Earl, where we react to all the news and stories in the Premier League in England. Now, we have to start the show, Rob. This is a live show. It's just gone 5 p.m. Eastern time, and there are troubling and worrying reports of a helicopter crash outside of the King Power Stadium in Leicester, the home of Leicester City Football Club. Now, we know that the owner regularly flies in and out of the King Power Stadium, and multiple reports right now is there's been a crash. The helicopter has crashed outside in a car parking lot outside the stadium. And again, it's early. We don't have any information about casualties or who was in the helicopter at the time. But it's a very worrying, it's a very big deal, and it's an awful sight. Rob, there's a few pictures and videos out right now of the helicopter on fire. It's a worrying time for everybody around Leicester City.
Absolutely, mate. It looks horrific. And this is one of those occasions and times when the football community comes together. Mm. Whatever your colours, whatever team you support, your thoughts go to those at Leicester City and around the stadium, and fingers crossed that there's some good news to come out of it.
Yeah, but let's get to the football, Rob, and lots of Premier League matches today. Liverpool Football Club were playing, and a difficult match against Cardiff City, where they came out on top 4-1, Robbie Earl. Yeah. And Liverpool, up to this point, have been excellent in terms of results. I think performances haven't been to their top level.
Yeah.
But this was more like it, and another sign of really good attacking play. The goals are flowing through now. Those front players are starting to find form, starting to find each other, chemistry. I think the manager's done a pretty good job with switching things around tactically a little bit to try and help them. And this was a convincing victory, wasn't it?
Absolutely. And we said today, didn't we, on the radio show today, that we're going to incorporate Champions League that we didn't manage to touch on midweek. And let's just go back to Red Star, Rob, because the four goals there, with the front three, again, all getting goals, all going back to that thrilling front three that we saw last season. Mo Salah is out of his slump. That's one thing we can say. A brace in midweek. He gets a goal today. And Neil Warnock, before today's game, said this front three are arguably the best in world football. Now, sometimes I think Neil can go over the top, but do you know what? It's a decent argument, by
the way. Of course it's a good argument. I mean, there's other front players around the world.
I mean, Barcelona might
Barcelona, Paris Saint-Germain have got, pretty good front players. I mean, Man City as well. So there's a lot of good attacking players out there, but we haven't seen the best of it.
Are they the difference? Do they make Liverpool like a game a day like today when, okay, they got 1-0 up and had to wait a little while for the second, but do they make the difference to the performance that we're now starting to get a little bit more excited?
Yeah, of course they do. And to have those players in the football club over the recent couple of years or more now, isn't it? I know Liverpool weren't challenging for the title, but that's those other areas in the team that's been addressed.
Yeah.
The main thing was that they have got brilliant front players, and we're starting to see it. Red Star Belgrade, of course, were always thought to be the whipping boys in the Champions League group, but you've still got to win. There was changes to the side. He brought back Alexander-Arnold and Fabinho.
Yeah.
I thought had an excellent outing in the centre of midfield. It's been a little bit of time to see this guy come through. Brazilian midfield player from Monaco. It was a decent fee, and yet the manager didn't really feel he was ready to play in this team. Well, I think he won man of the match on the day. Yeah. Shaqiri played as well, and he's becoming kind of a fan's cult favourite because he's adding quality.
Super subs, they used to call him at Liverpool, didn't they?
Yeah, but
he isn't going to want to be that.
He won't want to be that, but he is bringing some quality. I mean, he started this game and it just had, I mean, it's a different system. 4-2-3-1 with Mo Salah as the striker in this game. Firmino is a number 10, which is different. Yep. Shaqiri and Mane playing wide. So, you know, in some ways, I thought that was a really big performance in attacking play. The goals are coming. The front three, as you said, scored in that one. And I think that set them up for today's Premier League match.
I'll tell you where I go with Liverpool right now, Rob. We said at the start of the season, when we looked through the squad, this should be a title-challenging squad.
It's ready to win.
It's ready to win. What we're seeing now, the important thing for me in terms of Liverpool looking to challenge it and win a title is when they make changes, there's depth now in the squad. There's real quality that can come in. Let's remember that Trent Alexander-Arnold came back into the team today. Joe Gomez didn't play. Moreno started at left-back. Robertson was on the bench. Fabinho started the game. Henderson's out with it looks like a hamstring injury. Shaqiri comes on and makes a difference. In the past, Liverpool's 1-11 has been good enough to challenge top four.
Yeah.
But they've not had the depth outside. They lose a big player. They lose a striker or a Stevie G. They don't have like-for-like replacements. Now when Henderson goes down, Fabinho can play. Wijnaldum can play. Yeah. Now when they lose a front man, Shaqiri can come on. Sturridge can come on. There's proper depth to this team now. And if the front three catch fire like they're looking like they might, this could be a very exciting season for Liverpool.
Absolutely is. And in the progression and the rotation, as you talked about, is exciting. I'll tell you what they need, Robbie-O. They need a massive win. They need a big statement win. I'm not sure we've seen it so far.
Do they, though?
Well, I think they do.
Why do they?
Well,
What's that going to give them that they're not doing already?
And I think expectation levels are really high.
Yeah.
And they are justified given the results.
Mm. Top of the table.
Arsenal away on Saturday could be... I mean, they beat Spurs, Rob. I'm looking through. They drew with Chelsea.
Yeah.
They drew with Manchester City 0-0, which in itself is good. But come on. Come on, get those Liverpool fans really revved up.
Listen.
Really believe it.
A win against Arsenal. Go the opposite. Because we've seen them revved up, Rob. We saw them in 2013, 2014 when...
But look how close they got.
They did get so close. But they almost tipped over the edge. They almost wanted it too much, if that's possible. I think Jurgen Klopp this season has done a brilliant job of management. And I talk of management of players' minutes. He's rotated when he can. He's got players out. He's management of his team, he talked about concentration and controlling a game as becoming important for Liverpool. And the management of expectation, I think, is going to be as big a job for this football club. We're starting in November. I don't think we have to be getting too excited yet. I want to get excited in March, April and May when things are being handed out.
That's a good point. I mean, it's a different way of looking at it. In terms of belief, Rob, and like everybody else, like, wow, they are the real deal. I think you're starting to see those front players. You can tell, by the way, Mohamed's kind of movements, right? Mohamed Salah. There's a little bit extra spring in his step. I mean, literally, he looks quicker. He looks sharper because the confidence is right back again. Confidence is such an incredible thing. Yeah. The goals are coming now. What's he got, four? I mean, he's got four in the last three, I think it is now.
Yeah.
Mane scoring goals as well. It looks great, and they're ready for me to go to Arsenal, who are in good form themselves, and to get a result. But until a big result like that happens where they dominate another big side in an impressive way, there's still going to be doubts.
Yeah, I'm less worried if the confidence in the group stays the same. Jurgen Klopp, after the match, said two things today that I thought were really important. They've won 4-1. We're way better than Cardiff because of their quality. But he said the players were disappointed they didn't keep a clean sheet. That's new for Liverpool. That has not always been the case about clean sheets. The second thing he says, we didn't have 100% concentration. Some of that became from Champions League and that. But he's talking about the concentration where they are in control of games. And at 2-1, for a moment, that game... Not as in the balance, but they're not in the control that they were. He wants 2-0 to stay as 2-0 or 3-0 or 4.
I like that's what they're talking
about.
Yeah, I do like it as well. The goal they conceded was a deflection.
Correct.
It took it right into his path. You could argue he's offside, whether Van Dijk is deliberately playing the ball as a deflection.
But isn't that good that they don't like that? In the past, Liverpool have worried about more scoring. If they won 6-2, they'd have been happy with that.
No, I agree with that. But on the other side of it, that was not lucky for Cardiff because you make your own luck and you get in that situation, you force the ball across there. But other than that, they were pretty good as well defensively. But it is Cardiff City, Robbie-O. Yeah. It was Red Star Belgrade.
So after next week against Arsenal, you think something different. What about a 2-0 controlled win against Arsenal
brilliant.
Next week?
Magnificent.
You okay with that?
Of course I am. I just think the team
to
is
me
good
like
enough.
You want four or
no,
five.
No, I don't, Rob.
I want the other thing. I've seen Liverpool do that. And they don't win titles doing that.
I want more, even more justification for the excitement, even more kind of like evidence to say this is a better team. And they're still going to be as good going forward as last season. And they've got the flexibility and the different people in midfield. And they've got a better goalkeeper. I want to see it all come together in a big match against a big 5-6 rival that says, look at this. Because it will scare others, Rob. I know it might increase the expectation and the euphoria and everything else, but that just frightens other people off a little bit more, and they can control, they can build on that and build a run. I'm getting too excited, aren't I?
You get too excited. I'm happy with the inner confidence that Liverpool seem to show and Jurgen Klopp seem to show. But Musty wants more. Earl's pretty happy with what they got at the moment. So Jurgen Klopp and Liverpool ticking along nicely, sitting top of the table at least for 48 hours. Next to a team who's juggled in Champions League and have a big match coming up tomorrow. We focus on Manchester United after the break. You're listening to Two Robbies Football Show on NBC Sports Radio. Be back in a tick.
We're back and ready for play to resume. Can I get a whistle?
Welcome back to Two Robbies Football Show here on NBC Sports Radio. Okay, Robbie Earle. We didn't manage to get a podcast out, a Europod out during the week. We apologise for that. But we do want to rewind to Tuesday in the Champions League and Manchester United versus Juventus. And two superpower football clubs, giant football clubs, giant managers and lots of great players on show.
Do we really want to rewind?
We have to rewind. Okay. And I'm afraid, wow, there was one great team and one not so great team. And I was stunned at the difference here and the different level in quality in terms of the approach of the game. Juventus absolutely bossed the match. Paulo Dybala was sensational, I thought, Rob. And he mixes opinion a little bit. I think he's a brilliant little player. There's times when he hasn't produced stuff when people expect him to. He absolutely ran that game with very smart runs from the front line into midfield, and United left United almost paralysed and to a point where the football of Juve at Old Trafford in a European Champions League night was so damaging to United, and they won the game 1-0. But the difference, Rob, was pretty remarkable.
It was a gulf. They were a class apart. And I was watching the game, Rob, almost looking like one team looks like an experienced Champions League outfit, and the other team looks like maybe a team who's come out of the Europa and it's their first time in the competition. Manchester United almost didn't have a clue. And I was looking at the game thinking, well, this is Juventus, I suppose, you know, team in black and white. Well, and then I thought, actually, go back a couple of weeks, they did the same thing to Newcastle United, who got 2-0 up, and desperation got them back into the game and they managed to win a game. Yeah. They hand the initiative, Rob, to the opposition from the first kickoff. They sit back and the opposition get comfortable, get a rhythm, start playing, put some passes together. And you know, as a player, when you play a big club, sometimes it takes you an hour to get to that position where you feel on top. These boys are enjoying it from minute one. And people like Rashford and Martial, the first most important thing for them is stopping fullbacks. It's not going forward. I don't think that in a team tour, Jose Mourinho says to them, get at that fullback, get some crosses in. The first thing he says is, don't let that fullback come running past you. How can you start a game with those kind of players in that mentality?
Let me go to the root of the problem. Everything stems from this statement, this sentence.
Wow.
Manchester United can't pass or keep the ball. I'm telling you right now, that's it.
No, I disagree.
United can't keep the football, Robbie Earle.
I disagree.
No, I'm so strong on that. Okay, they can't keep the football.
Let me put it another way. So it goes to the Juventus,
good players that can keep it.
Let me put it another way. And we said we don't always want to go back there. But let's just say Pep Guardiola is in charge of that football club.
Yeah.
Them same players can't pass a ball.
No, I disagree. Otamendi, no. You don't understand.
Okay,
Mourinho's way of coaching this group means they don't. Yeah, I'm not saying with a different manager and a different philosophy and different work on a training ground, different strategy.
You're saying they can't pass
Mourinho's
the ball.
Mourinho's team This Mourinho's team can't keep the football.
That's different.
They can't keep the football for different reasons, because he doesn't want his attacking players to be in certain spots. Yeah, he doesn't encourage fullbacks to be in positions to receive. He doesn't want their midfield players to come back deep and get the ball. He doesn't want other players. He's not built a footballing, in inverted commas, team. And this was so evident. They try and pass the ball. It lasts about three or four. They give it to Juventus and then they sit back again. It stems. I looked at it and thought, this stems from the fact they can't keep the ball.
I hear you, and I get the point you're making. What I would say is, when you're down, Rob, when the first thing, the most important thing is the negativity, is the defensive side, is not making somebody run past
you. So they're not set up to pass it.
Yeah, and you don't concentrate on those things.
Right.
You're not ready to receive. Your first thought isn't about, let me get out of my feet and play. Your first thought is, if I give it away, I've got to go running, chasing 30 yards back to plug a hole and block off the opposition.
I've said this a million times. I'm going to say it again right now. There's no build-up, which is, again, inverted commas, but that's kind of a phrase that it's not just passing out from the back, but it's build-up. It's build-up play. It's combining to manoeuvre the ball into the attacking third to potentially score a goal. There's such a lack of build-up plan that against a good side, you know, it's pretty evident.
Don't just say good side, Rob. They do it against poorer sides. We saw it against
Newcastle. There's no build-up plan, exactly.
There's absolutely no build-up plan. And is it because the guy can't do it? Does he not feel his players are good enough to do it? I mean, Manchester United
can't build
up the plan.
Yeah.
There's no... You watch teams, you watch Leicester City, who we saw today, and you can see what they're trying to do. Sometimes it doesn't work because they're not good enough. Sometimes it doesn't work because the pass ain't right. But you can see what they're trying to achieve.
Jose,
with Manchester United, I never quite know.
Well,
and look at Romelu Lukaku, and I know he's having a nightmare time, and he's just off.
I feel for him, by the way.
I absolutely feel for him.
I feel for him. I mean, every time he gets a ball, Rob, there's a game a couple of weeks ago, right? I think he had 9 touches in the first half.
Yeah.
So every single time he touches the ball, there's a horrendous pressure on doing something good with it.
And
to
there's
look
nobody
after
close
it.
To him, because those two wide players are so deep, they can't get up and join him.
Another thing, another line on my list here this game, reliable players for him were poor. Ashley Young, Nemanja Matic, Romelu Lukaku. Players that normally are reliable are starting to struggle in this setup and this system. I mean, really, throughout the game, Paul Pogba's shot that went against the post and hits a goalkeeper
was about it.
And, you know, with the money and with the time, they should be better than that. And I'm afraid it does come down to the manager about who he decided to play, who he decided to extend contracts. Marouane Fellaini, he was desperate to keep. Fred. I mean, Ashley Young as a fullback.
He makes no substitutions, by the way. No substitutions during the game. So not happy with what's on the bench. You spend 50-odd million on Fred. You don't even bring him into the team. Rob, I got to the stage where Manchester United sitting 10th. There's no fear anymore playing Manchester United.
Of course.
Absolutely no fear. Teams go now and say, we can dominate possession.
Do you think Everton can go there on Sunday and get something? That's
absolutely
tomorrow
again. Absolutely can go there and get something.
Because they're kind of confident right now.
Yeah. Playing good football. They've got a little bit of a system now.
Yeah, the manager, you can see what they're trying to do.
Of all the teams in the league, and we talk about the big six, Manchester United play like a bottom six team. And in that, I say, the first thing they do is want to sit back and defend. The first thing they want to do is let the opposition almost wear themselves out. They play like a team who's just looking to nick a couple of points and keep ticking along.
We know about and talked about right now in another show is the struggles in attack. They've got defensive issues. After 9 games in the Premier League, they've got 1 clean sheet.
Yeah.
Last season, after 9 games, they had 7. So this isn't just about attacking struggles. Mm. It's about defensively as well. And... you know, just finally, Rob, are we being too harsh on United? We have a lot of stick on social media about you're always hammering Manchester United.
No, we're not, because we know the standard. And we're not saying they're going to have to be top of the league, winning the league every year. This isn't Manchester United, Rob. This isn't Manchester United, believe me.
And it's, you know, the Arsenal thing? Again, us have been critical over the last kind of few months. Mm. It's critical because they're better than that. And now we're seeing it. And now we're seeing it. And I think that's the issue with United.
They're better than this.
And it's a shame with so many good players.
I know what we're saying about they can't pass. I mean, but look through that list of players.
And they can.
They can. Martial,
given
Rashford.
The right instruction.
Can do things, you know. Lukaku, given service, will score goals. I mean, he was Everton's top scorer. We'd get 20 a season for Everton. He doesn't look like he's going to get a kick in the red of Manchester United.
And I'm still not sure whether it's a happy dressing room with more reports about protests and travel problems. Yeah, it's not good.
Absolutely, more than a hint of pessimism swirling around Old Trafford and Manchester United. Jose needs to address that. Down in North London, things aren't much better. Rebuilding Whitehawk Lane's delay. today, Pochettino's talking about Spurs not having much of a chance against Manchester City on Monday. Is the manager starting to dumb things down? I'm Earl, he's Musto, together with the two Robbies on NBC Sports Radio. We'll discuss next.
And now, the two Robbies football show. Online or with the app. You can find us anywhere. NBC Sports Radio. And NBCSportsRadio.com. Because our game never stops.
Welcome back to the Two Robbies Football Show. Now, Robbie Earl, let's rewind again. UEFA Champions League on Wednesday. PSV hosted Tottenham Hotspur. The game finished 2-2. And I've got mixed kind of thoughts on this game. There were a lot of positives for Tottenham Hotspur in this match. And one big negative towards the end of the game with the way that they dropped points. But let's start on the positive, Rob. I want to start on the positive. And there was a lot of improvement in the general performance of Tottenham Hotspur, I thought, in this game. The return of Christian Eriksen after his knee injury layoff, I thought was, he was excellent. Very good. Brilliant ball in Kane header. And I thought their general football was different. A few changes. Lucas Moura played on the right-hand side, Eriksen in the hole. Heung-min Son came in on the left-hand side. But in general, they bossed this game. They were a better team than PSV. And yet, they didn't end up winning the game. What do you think? I mean, what is that enough positives to outweigh the negatives of still finding a way to drop points in this competition when they look clearly the better team? We saw it early in the competition with Inter Milan. They look the better side. And yet, for whatever reason, and we've seen this and we've talked about it with Spurs over the last 2-3 years, in crucial moments when they need a little bit of something, a little bit of mental toughness or ruthless determination, whatever it is, they keep making mistakes to make results that they feel like they deserve to be better. Is this a mental problem with them?
Let me come back to that in a moment. First of all, what you said was quite interesting. Spurs were good and there's lots of positives, but that becomes a sentence for Spurs. Yeah. That tells you everything. We're never quite saying Spurs were good. You said they were better than the opposition, but didn't win the game. Kind of sums up Spurs. Let's go back to the next thing in terms of you're talking about maybe some defensive errors, some mental strength, not seeing things over the line. Let's look at that. So when those things have happened, and they've happened continually over a couple of years, and we've sort of said they're a bit of a Neely men, it begs two questions to me, Rob. One, is it the group of players? Is there something in the makeup of the group of players? Or, Robbie Musto, is there something in the makeup of the manager?
Yeah, I think it's something in the manager. I think absolutely. I think it's something
That's
in him. I absolutely
That's
believe
cool.
that. I absolutely believe it.
Because what could that? Where are you going
just,
with that?
Well, it's
not.
It's his direction.
Does it not make it important?
It's his
enough?
Substitutions. It's his influence on the sideline or in training or in reacting from times when this has happened before to try and make them different or better. I so believe in the manager's got a huge influence, obviously, on a team the way it acts, the way it behaves, the way it plays, of course, the way it defends, the way it attacks, in everything. The manager's or the coach in this situation is everything. And it's happened too many times now where it should be getting corrected. You know what, as well on this, Rob? I often have said before that, you know what? I don't want too much negative talk about Spurs because they are overachieving given their squad, given their budget or the money side of it. Okay. So I strongly believe in that. But given the situations they got themselves in, I can't go back to that. I can't say, well, you know what? They're 2-1 up and, the wages aren't as much as other teams. They don't spend as money as some of the others. It's not such a big, you know, revenue-building club. But when they get in situations where they're clearly the better side and they're showing it week in, week out in some circumstances and they don't win, then it's got to be them. It's got to be that team
and
that manager.
So what has to change? People are suggesting that Mauricio Pochettino hasn't won a trophy. And that's kind of part of the reason he hasn't won a trophy.
Well, the million-dollar question is, Robbie Earl, are Spurs on a path to win a title and they've just dropped short a little bit for various reasons about, you know, like I've just talked about?
Yeah.
They can't afford that big, massive money guy to make a difference when others can. Or is there something in the manager that's going to stop them winning? I've criticised a manager and I say that it probably is him to get over the line in certain situations, but I still feel the club is on a path.
Yeah.
There's no way that there's any thought that this manager is under pressure for not winning something. Because of the job he's done right now.
And, there'd be plenty out there who would take him.
It's that final part.
It is. And whether Pochettino's going to have to change the way he manages, maybe the way he looks at games, whether tactically, whether it's something as a group they've got to work on. They've got to find a way, Rob, of getting over those humps. Because it happens too many times. And they're too good footballers. They get themselves in too many good situations through their good football that lets them down.
So let me contradict all that. Yeah, you know where I'm going. Is it Mauricio Pochettino's fault that Hugo Lloris, flies off his line and makes a bad judgment call that ends up getting sent off, ends up putting the whole game?
To the question. This is not his fault. But so does a tough manager who wants to make a change to that have to drop Hugo Lloris? There you go. Does a manager have to show his strength in that way to change attitude and to show, wow, if you do that to Hugo, or is it managing
in a
different
way? It's a really good question, and I'm going to say for this situation, no.
And I'd agree with you.
I
would agree with you.
But I tell you what, I'm only just on that. I really like the thought of, you know what, I'm the boss now. And he's made tough decisions before. Yeah. So he's not far from doing that.
Even a one game, maybe not.
What do you mean one game?
Like
for who? For Lloris?
Yeah.
He's done it more than one times now.
Yeah. No, I'm saying, could a manager drop him for one game as a little, you know, no one's too big in my team.
Well, anything with that.
It hurts him, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, if the new...
I'm just...
The new keeper comes in and does well, then it shouldn't just be one game. He's staying there. I'm a little bit worried about Lloris, Rob. Let's just quickly, there's been many occasions now where, and to be fair, the sweeper keeper part were a very strong part of his game. But just recently, just a matter of bad decisions, whether he's trying to be strong and make courageous motions off his line, he's got them wrong. And it's such a shame because the Spurs played so well that the narrative jumps back to can't get over the line in games where they look the better team.
And individual errors.
Individual errors,
defensively as well as
a manager maybe tweaking things to make sure they get over with some of these wins and get the three points.
I just wonder with Hugo Lloris and maybe people look at Paul Pogba and say, well, he's young and he's dabbing his social media and the haircuts and all that. Sometimes experienced players get affected by things. And winning the World Cup, Rob, we don't know what that meant to him. Has his eye gone slightly off the ball? Has he gone not soft in a way, but quite not on his game? He just needs to get his focus, get his sharpness. But I think he's in credit in what he's done for Spurs over the time. He's been a good captain. He's been a great player for them. I think he gets the benefit of
this. Has he been affected by the drink driving charge?
Possibly. I think he could be embarrassed by that. For the kind of player he is, the way he holds himself, the position he had at the full club, that could have affected him. These things happen, Rob. We've all been there, and things off the pitch affect what happened on the pitch.
Can I just throw some positives for you?
Yeah.
How about this? Work with me on this one.
Go on.
Kane are going to be better this season because Lucas Moura looks like he could be a regular scorer.
Yeah.
Eric Lamella looks like he stepped his game up and could score some goals.
Yeah.
Christian Eriksen can get some goals as well.
Yeah.
Dele Alli is nearly fit again. Looks like he's going to sign a long-term contract. Yeah. Can get goals as well. What I'm trying to make the point of, could we this season, after a slow start in terms of performances from Spurs, good results, but could they get better and add or take some pressure away from Harry Kane in terms of the goal scoring at this football club?
Absolutely at that end of the pitch, Rob. The only worry starts to become silly defensive errors at the other end of the pitch that could undermine them. That's the one thing that I think they've got to sort out. Vertonghen coming back will help them, whether Sanchez has a little break or he goes his three at the back. Just gives him those more options, I think, when Spurs are at the best.
January, the managers talked about bringing new players in. Mm. Not going to be easy, but they need to try to, don't they? Get some new, fresh faces
in. With nothing in the summer, you just think maybe a freshen up, a little bit of chemistry, one or two changes might just be something. Even a lone player, Rob, just gives them something else. But looking forward to that one on Monday, Spurs at Manchester City at Wembley, two of the league's most attractive teams. When we get back, we'll talk the best of the rest from Saturday's games. This is the Two Robbies Football Show on NBC Sports Radio. We'll be back in a mo.
In enough of that. Back to the good stuff on NBC Sports Radio.
Welcome back to the Two Robbies Football Show. Now, Robbie, in our last segment, let's have a little whip around of the games here. It's match week 10 in the Premier League. In terms of the other results from today, I think there's a couple that stand out. I think the biggest one that stands out is Fulham Football Club and more struggles with their game, with their performances and with their results and with their defensive record. They lost today at home 3-0 to Bournemouth. Slavisa Jokanovic did a fantastic job, a highly regarded manager to get the team into the Premier League, promoted, of course, last season. They spent around $130 million on lots of new players. The thought was, I think it's from the chairman, Shad Khan, that said, you know what, this is the Premier League. We've got to upgrade our playing staff. Yeah. And lots of new players came in. But we've seen before, my friend, that it's hard to integrate, to make so many changes in this incredible step-up of the Premier League. They're struggling right now.
Absolutely struggling. About $150 million, I think, as you say, was spent. Lots of different new players come in. One of the issues, Rob, was when you've conceded 28 goals after 10 games, you've got a problem. Right now, deal with the problem. And we both know, we've both been there. We've both been in teams that have gone on bad runs. And what happens in training, or what has happened for me and got me out of that problem, is that morning, afternoon, and sometimes evening, we've been on the training ground. And all we've worked on is defending. Back four, getting your lines, getting your units, getting your distances, working together, understanding. To a point where we used to go into games after we'd been on a bad run, and we'd almost think, come on, man. We were so confident of getting a clean sheet. Fulham haven't had one all season. They've rotated at the back. The other thing I think that he has to adjust, and this isn't a bad thing from him, I think he has to adjust that he's not going to come into the Premier League and play the same football that he did in the Championship.
That there is a crux of the issue. Because I got a feeling that he, and he said this before the season started, that we're going to be true to our philosophy, that what got us here, the way that I like to coach, the way that this football club wants to be looked at going forward, of being expansive, being a good footballing side. And that's great. And that's all good. And we've seen that with Wolverhampton Wanderers Football Club, Robbie, because they've kept pretty much the same team with a couple of brilliant signings, international players, experienced players. Fulham are not that point. And now talking about, you know, critical points, does the manager change then? Does he change? Or is he going to continue to try and play his way through this?
Well, if he continues to try and play his way through this, he'll be out of work by the end of November. Because they'll give somebody December in the transfer window, and Shad Khan looks to me like a man who's not going easily back down to the Championship.
Do you know what reminds me of a little bit? And they're not as far on yet. Swansea City. Swansea City that didn't address the defensive side of it. Yeah. The Premier League, if there's one thing you've got to be, it's organised defensively. Yeah. I don't care what anybody says about it. You've got to have really good signings back there that are an instant hit to make you stronger defensively. Fulham haven't got it right now.
Absolutely. And the funny thing for Fulham, Rob, is the hardest thing in the game to do is score goals. Fulham look like they can do that bit. It's the bit that really is your bread and butter. Yeah. The bit you have to get right, you know, week in, week out, is they're not doing. Lots of rotations at the back, three at the back, four at the back, however many, just not getting it done at the moment.
Another team, two teams that are not getting it done, and another result today that I thought was a really important game was at St Mary's. Southampton 0, Newcastle United 0. Southampton, Robbie Earle, was one of my teams that I thought were going to get relegated. Yeah.
I didn't. I thought they'd just have enough. Danny Ings, I thought, was a major signing.
That's a major signing. And he's done well for them. Yeah. I think he's got three of their six goals scored. Yeah. Danny Ings has got them. And he came close today.
Yeah, yeah.
But when you're at home and you need a result and you can't beat Newcastle United, they've been really struggling, you can't score a goal against them. I mean, are they going to be okay, by the way? Am I going to be right or are you right? You said, I think, did you say Newcastle instead of
Southampton? I said Newcastle, yeah.
Who are bottom, talking about
them as well. But yeah. I just think there's enough goals, and I'm hoping enough know-how from Mark Hughes to keep them in the league.
See, I'm the other side of it. I think there's enough know-how in Rafa Benitez.
You'd rather be Newcastle than Southampton?
Ooh. Probably not.
It's toxic.
Probably not, because of the environment.
Yeah, the environment there is not good, is it?
I see Salamanca.
bubbling a little bit.
Yeah, Salman Rondon came on today, and he really has got to be the guy because they've let a couple of strikers go. Mitrovic, of course, being the main one.
He didn't settle or there wasn't a good
connection.
There
was something, but he's scoring goals, and it makes Rafa Benitez look bad. I mean, there's a little bit of talk about Rafa under pressure, Rob. I mean, are you having that?
No.
They've had a really difficult start in terms of the fixtures. They've played a lot of the big boys.
He's still come out and said he thinks, you know, they'll be top off. He gets things right. And defensively, Rob, they can keep a clean sheet. They're the opposite. Fulham, they can't get goals at the other end. Can't buy a goal at the moment.
Yeah. Just with other results from today, Watford continued to impress and surprise without their main strikers today. Pereira scores a brilliant goal. Deo Lefeu back fit, back in the starting lineup. He's a quality player as well. They won today 3-0.
Back-to-back defeats for Wolves. Any little worry or little reminder of what this league is?
A little reminder. Yeah. And I always think as well, Rob, after being there, I think three times with promotion, the euphoria of it. It starts to dwindle away a little bit in October into November.
It becomes a bit normal when
fans are not quite so forgiving, not so loud and vociferous in their support. There's no problem for Wolves. Yeah. I mean, they've done an excellent job, but it's just like, you know what, back-to-back victories now. Come on, Nuno, you got to get them back on track a little bit. Yeah.
Leicester 1, West Ham 1. Jamie Vardy, we hear, dropped. Any worries for Claude Puel?
Not for me, but I think there are worries for him. I think a lot of the fans are not sure he's the right guy, which I am surprised about. I know he's not that kind of loud, dominant guy, but I like him. I like what he's trying to do and the way he's trying to build this football club.
Yep. This is a day, Rob, though, when football takes a very distant second to some of the breaking news. We're hearing reports of a helicopter crash at the King Power Stadium. We're hoping that good news comes out from Leicester. And our thoughts go to Glenn Hoddle, the Spurs in England legend, who was taken seriously ill today. He's recovering in hospital. Best wishes to a man that Spurs fans call God. We hear he's responding well from treatment. And remember, for more drama, discussion and disagreements, make sure you subscribe to Apple Podcasts or download to Robbie's show. And always, we say thank you to our good folks at Culver City who always do a good job for us.
Yeah, absolutely, Robbie Earl. And I just want to thank everybody for listening to the show. It has been a tough day of news, both sides of the Atlantic, actually, Rob. And fingers crossed for more positive updates in the coming days. We'll return with another Two Robbies football show next Saturday, 5 p.m. Eastern Time here on NBC Sports Radio to talk about all the major stories and happenings on and off the field in the Premier League. So until then, my friend, it's good night from me.
And good night from him.
Good night.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.